Well, I'll say good morning too. Everyone else has this morning, and it's good to be back. As I was sitting here and looking out in the congregation, and some of you never move. I can spot you right where you were 20 years ago, but it's good to see you, good to be with you today. I've looked forward to this. It looks like this year your meetings are going to be Atlanta-based. I'm preaching this meeting, and then our pastor, Brother Wade Bowers, is coming for your fall meeting, I believe it is. So you're going to get two doses from Atlanta this year. But I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful that we could come, and I pray. I thank you for the prayers and the emails, the texts. A lot of you have sent me text and let me know you're praying for us and praying for this. I took Brother Randy off of my blacklist this morning. He asked me if I got the text he sent on Monday, and I didn't. I don't know what happened, but I didn't. And so just joking with him, he told me he had sent one, that he's praying for the meeting. So I said, well, I'll take you off my list then. But it's good to be here, and I am thankful that we can come together. And as I've thought of the meeting, and I've tried to put some sermons together, not necessarily as a series, but yet at the same time, to try to have a focus. And the Lord willing, this week, my focus is going to be on God. Understanding God, who God is to begin with. And out of that, and that'll be our message this morning, and what I mean by that is understanding that we are to have a relationship with God. Several things this morning that have just shown me this is where I need to go. The children and their song, and I can't remember it. I should have grabbed a copy when Kathy went by. But when they were making the statement, I'm just a child, and what is it, my life is still before me, something along that line. In one way, all of us are children, aren't we? And especially if we're children of God, our life is still before us. And we need God's direction in whatever we do, whatever age we are. And then when Brother Todd, with his devotion on making choices for the children, that's another thing for all of us. I love Children's Church, Feed the Lambs, whatever we might want to call it, because I've learned a lot through the years from either what I've taught or someone else has taught with the children. And his focus this morning, like choosing our friends. And when he was saying that about how we make the choice, friends like good Christian people, or we can make wrong choices and wind up in all kind of trouble. What's the greatest friend that we can have? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He loved us. He died for us. I thought of the song, I Found a Friend, Oh, Such a Friend, and how we have him as a friend. What do we have with our friends? We have a relationship, don't we? And that's what we're to have with our Lord. And then the song that the choir just sang, and then I was thinking of his love, mercy, and grace that we just sang, and that love and mercy, that's in our hearts, and it must be in our hearts. And it's easy for us to sing about all of God's provision. It's easy for us to sing about all that God has done in our life. We sing about it, but I have to wonder sometimes, and I'm talking to myself today, I have to wonder sometimes if that's really what our life is. And if we really know the God and have a relationship with the God who has given us and shown us his mercy, his love, and his grace. And it's so important that we have that. I'm going to be reading this morning for our text from Exodus chapter 20. And we'll be looking at the first 17 verses of that chapter. But before we get into that, I want to just say that the purpose of this message for us today is that a right relationship with God is necessary. And a right relationship with God is necessary and must come first if we're going to have a right relationship with other people. It's a must. And our text this morning is the Ten Commandments. And you might think, well, boy, why do we need that? Well, I hope we find out why it's necessary. So it's coming from the Ten Commandments, and I want us to look at God, because thoughts about God are presented to us first in the Ten Commandments, the first four. And then I want us to also look at life and others in our life and how we're affected by that. Most people, I would say, a lot of people say that they live a good life and they live by the Ten Commandments. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you say that and believe that. But a lot of people that say that, I have to say, they can't even recite the Ten Commandments. How many of us today know what the Ten Commandments are? And you could stand up here and recite all of the Ten Commandments. Very few, if any. And yet we say we live by the Ten Commandments. So if we can't recite them, it's highly unlikely that we live by them, isn't it? And so we need to be careful sometimes what we say. But I want to lay down some groundwork before our text begins as we look at what God does to get Moses ready to go into the mountain and receive the Ten Commandments and then give it to the Lord's people. In chapter 18 of Exodus, all I can say is that Moses is the man. And that's the only way to put it when we look at Moses there in that chapter. He's listening to everybody's troubles. He's trying to solve every situation with everyone and all the disagreements, everything that's coming up. And his father-in-law, Jethro, gives him some great examples or some great information and help and says, you need to have a leadership team. You need to have others to help you. And he did. He found some others. They helped him handle all of the problems. Think about all of the situation with all of those people, about 1 million. That had come out of Egypt, God had led out. So that's chapter 18. Then in chapter 19, as that man, God calls Moses to go up Mount Sinai to receive instruction for Israel. And here's the people of God. God has rescued them. His grace, mercy, and love has been shown to them. They've been delivered from captivity. Now they're headed to the land that was promised to them through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They're going back to their homeland. So he gives instruction, go up to the mountain, and I'm going to give you the word to give to the people. And God says to Moses, in essence, Moses, this is what I want you to tell them. And the first thing is that you know firsthand what I did in Egypt. You know what I did to your enemy and how I delivered you. You know how I brought you out of captivity in Egypt. And then he says, and if you obey me fully, and if you keep my covenant, then you're going to be a nation that is blessed by God. That's the word that Moses was to deliver to the people. So Moses then goes up to the top of the mountain, to Mount Sinai, to get the word of God. He receives that word. And then God sends him down the mountain to deliver, first of all, a warning about approaching God falsely. We need to take heed to that warning too, because we can approach God falsely. And so we need to be careful. And then he delivers the law by which he expects them to live. And what is so interesting to me, if you keep going and in this, you'll see that while Moses is up on the mountain and he's receiving the Ten Commandments, Israel's down below and it's just taken too long, and so they decide to make a golden calf and to worship it. Remember? Well, let's see what one of the first commandments is as we read. Reading God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger which is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So those are the commandments that we call the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. Now I want you to listen to verse 18, because this is important as we see the beginning of their response. Verse 18, he says, "And when the people saw the thunder and the lightning, and they heard the trumpet, and they saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. And they stayed at a distance, and they said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die.'" Now, as I think of that statement and see what how they're acting, you know, here we are thousands of years later, and I think that oftentimes we still have that mindset of the Israelites. And that is, we keep God at a distance and we listen to men. Don't we do that? They sometimes feared the messenger more than they feared God. They fear what men see. And I think too often that's where our focus is. We fear what men see and we forget or just ignore the fact that the God of the universe is watching. And he sees everything. Everything he sees. It's easier for us to build a relationship horizontally with other people, isn't it, than to build a relationship vertically with God. It's a lot easier for me to have a relationship with you sometimes, or it seems like, than it is with God. But let's paraphrase a moment those first four commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. I asked Brother Chris that text to read it. He read that at the beginning of our worship this morning. That's a summation of that first part. Love God with all your heart. Secondly, he says, have no idols. Third is that you should not take the name of the Lord in vain. And the fourth is, remember the Sabbath. All four of those present a relationship that we are to have, should have, with God. And that should be foremost with us. So look at them again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. Sometimes we might have a problem with that. You know, do I love Him with everything, my heart, mind, soul, and body? Have no idols. We're not careful. Sometimes we think that of an idol, and the only thing we think of is a little statue, you know. But idols can be more than that. An idol can be a spouse. An idol can be a lot of things. I know a lot of people that are so involved with fishing that I think that their brand new rod and reel or their brand new boat is their idol, you know. So we have to be careful. Have no idols. Just think about it. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Oops, have we done that? Has something slipped out sometimes? And then the fourth is remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. And as I think of that, I think, oh, you know, so a lot of people, I'm just so busy. You mean every Sabbath, every Sunday? Well, that's what the Lord says. Remember it and keep it holy. So these first four are relational with God. They have to do with our relationship with Him. And that is that they need to be first, and they are first, because it's our relationship with God that is the most important relationship that we can ever have in life. And I'll tell you, if our relationship with God isn't right, we're going to see that our other relationships aren't going to be right. And I think it's because people don't have a right relationship with God that all kinds of problems come in their life. For Christians, I think a lot of times that's the reason for divorce. It's a reason that families fall apart, is because there's not a good, firm relationship with God. He is our Creator, and we are to love Him first of all and above all. There's a three-way cord that is presented to us here in this text. First one is, He is God. And He says that here several times. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, your God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is self-existent. He is not one of many gods, but He is the one true and living God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and He is ever-present. Think of that. All-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present. There is none like Him. Now, my question is, if He is all of these things, then why is it that when situations arise in our life, He's not the first one that we go to? He's not the first one that we seek help and guidance from. So often we try to solve situations or problems in our life, make decisions in our life, and we ask everybody and his neighbor for help. And if nothing happens, then we ask God to help. In desperation, the song that the choir sang, that was the word that jumped out at me. In desperation, I called upon Him. Well, I tell you, sometimes that's what it takes. But He ought to be first, shouldn't He? The first one, He's all-powerful and all-knowing. He's the Creator of everything. Genesis tells us that. Very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at His creation of man, He took an interest in man, His creation. And the interest that He had with man was that He wants to have a relationship with us. And I think that's evident from the fact that God created us in whose image? The cow's image? The bird's image? No, His image. Man is the last of His creation. I could say he's the pinnacle of God's creation. And He created man to have a relationship with Him. And it's not to be a superficial relationship, but it's to be an intimate and long-lasting relationship. God's love and God's desire for relationship, I think, are shown through the sacrifices and the just very fact that He initiated love for us. I was just thinking, I think it's in the book of Titus, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He initiated love with us and for us. Look at John 3:16. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That He's calling and He wants a relationship with us. He's the Creator of everything. He's omnipresent. What does that mean? That means that God is present at every point of the universe all the time. He's everywhere. He's here with us today. He's in every nation around the world. He is everywhere present. I think of what David said in Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms, when he says, first of all, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you ever thought of that about yourself? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's God's creation. You're His creation. And then David goes on to say, now where can I go that I do not find Him? If I go up, He's there. If I descend, He's there. If I go east or west, He's there. Wherever I go, God is there. He's omnipresent. He's also omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful. Just remember, God created everything. To create means to make something from nothing. And God created everything. He didn't create anything that could defeat Him because He's all-powerful. And then when God said in the creation, when God said, let there be, then something came into existence, didn't it? Whether He said, let there be light, or the moon, or the stars, or the animals, or humans, He simply spoke and everything came into existence. That is the power of our God. He's all powerful. So that's the first thing. He's God. Remember that. Second chord in this is that He was their God. It's personal now. As He spoke to them, He said, I am the Lord your God. And by that, He is saying, I want to have and will have a relationship with you. I am your God. And He is standing on His promises. Promises that go all the way back to the beginning, but especially promises that were made to Abraham. When He said, I'm going to take you to a land, this is going to be your land and the land of your people. Well, they're out of it, aren't they? They've been off into captivity, or they're in Egypt, and now they're ready to get out. But God made a promise that they would be in that land. And we have to remember this about God. Numbers chapter 13, verse 29 says, God is not a man that He should lie. And if God makes a promise, then He's going to keep that promise. So wanting a relationship with us so strongly, He was willing to die for each one of us. And He did, didn't He? Through His Son, our Savior, our Lord. We talk about the love, mercy, and grace of God. That's where it's seen, isn't it? In Jesus' death upon the cross for His people. So that's the second chord. First, He is God. Second, He is our God. It's personal. And then the third thing is that He was their Redeemer. And I tell you, that's so important, isn't it, for this relationship we're talking about that we have with God. What had God done for them? Well, He brought them out of Egypt. You know, He delivered them. He because of His goodness, He brought them out of slavery into liberty. They were eyewitnesses of His deliverance. And that's what God does in our lives too, isn't it? Our God, He delivers us. He delivers us from a wrong path and puts us on a right path. He delivers us from sin and death, and we have life and hope. And so He is our Redeemer. So there's the three chords there. He's our God. He is God. And He chose to be their God, and He is their Redeemer. Now I want to think of each one of us for a moment. Each one of us is uniquely made by our all-powerful God. You ever think about that? You are uniquely made by our God. The God who created us desires to fill us with Himself. You know, a lot of times I've taught with people through my 56 years in preaching, and I've taught with people that talk, well, I just said there's an emptiness in my life. There's a void in my life. And most of the time, that emptiness and that void is God. And God, in having a relationship with us, He wants to fill any void that there is within our life. It's exciting to know that, but it's also demanding, isn't it, that we have a relationship with Him. Well, the reason for that is that there are sins in our lives that keep us from giving glory to God. And what happens with us is, rather than giving glory to God, the Creator, we give glory to His creation. And a lot of people do that. For instance, I think one of the biggest sins that is present today in the world that I see is pride. Pride. Well, the Scripture tells us pride comes before the fall. But what does pride do? Well, pride is love of self. So think about it. Are you proud? That's a love of self. We think of covetousness, wanting to have what someone else has and doing anything we can to get it. Well, what is covetous? That makes a god of money, to covet. I've got to have this and I've got to have that. And then sensuality makes a god of our flesh. So that's just some examples of things that would hinder us in our relationship with God. Now, those that love God endeavor to keep His commandments. All of these that have been given to us, and more than that, but these 10 kind of are a good summary. Especially putting God at the right place in life, and that is first. Because that's where the first four commandments are. They're the first things, and those first four all deal with God and who God is. They will receive God's mercy. They will receive God's strength by the Holy Spirit to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to God, but also helps us to live out the other six commandments, which deal with our relationship with other people. He'll help us with that. You will never live horizontally with others until you have that right relationship vertically with God. That's necessary. That has to be first. And so that to have the right relationship with God is going to have us ready then to have a right relationship with other people. And I think that God uses rules, like the Ten Commandments that He's given here, for one purpose, to bring us closer to Himself. Because I guarantee if you take these things that we have here and you make every endeavor to live them in your life, I guarantee you that's going to bring you closer to your God in heaven. So we are to live those rules. One writer says that before God ever commands them, that is the Israelites, to do anything or to refrain from doing anything, He desires to save them. And that's exactly what He did, didn't He? When you look at it with bringing Israel out of their captivity, that's exactly what He did. Think about it. Moses did not go into Egypt with those two big tablets with all of the Ten Commandments on them and walk in there in their midst and say, "Now, hey, listen, if you'll obey all of these 10 things, then I'm going to bring you out of here. Just tell me you're going to live all of these and I'll bring you out." That's not the way He did it, did He? He goes in there and He redeemed them first. He saved them. He delivered them, whatever term you want to use, but He brought them out of their captivity. He brought them out, and then He gave them these commandments. And He did that because He wants to have a relationship with them as His people, and that's what He did. He delivered them. He showed them that I will keep my promise, the promise that He had made to Abraham years before. God's love forces us to ask some very hard questions. If we really want to have a relationship with God or better our relationship, improve our relationship with God, then here's some questions that we need to ask. And I'm sure there's more, but just these. We need to ask, do I honor anything or anyone above God? That's number one. Secondly, has God been replaced by something physical or material in my life? Do I value human life? Do I tell the truth? Do I take God's name in vain? And I think here's one that affects a lot of people. Is work more important than my relationship with God? So where is God in your life? That's the big question. Is He first? I was thinking as Brother Randy was making his announcements to you, and I don't know what your occupations are, but I could tell that apparently there's some that have a business in town. There's others that are farmers. There's others that work in stores or whatever. And when he said, you know, like this week with the meeting, you farmers, if you don't get that 100 acres planted, you know, and I understand all of that about farming and planting, but I just think that was, I thought that was a good illustration. Who's first? I think of people that I've known in business and other things, how they, in putting God, God's first, they lay aside some things in order to better serve Him. I'll give you a good example. Truett Cathy with Chick-fil-A. Never open on Sunday. Never. Said he never would. That man was a devout Christian. He tithed. He began tithing. His 10%, and I've probably told you all this before, but it's one of my favorite examples. He would tithe his 10% and gave that to God, and then they had 90%, you know, for their living and everything. You know, it wound up towards the end of his life. They were living on 10% and giving 90%. That's how much God had blessed them in just being faithful to Him. The Sabbath day was to keep the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. That one thing. And it's so important in our lives. Oftentimes I hear people say, we talk about studying the Bible. I remember at Atlanta Church several years ago, we started reading through the Bible as a church. Started the first of the year. We found a good program, you know, to do it, and we just so much scripture we'd read every day. And started out good, but all of a sudden, you know, people started getting lax. Well, I just didn't have time today. I didn't have time to do that. And once you start falling behind on something like that, you don't catch up. That's all there is. But here's my point with that. It takes, we need to make time. I know people that are busy, busy men, busy women. They work, they have their families, everything. I know of several, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing they do while they're drinking their coffee is have a prayer time and read and study the Word of God and then begin their day of their activity. We have to make time for a lot of things in our life. So those are things I think we have to remember. What is first in our life is the Lord, and our relationship with Him most important. Well, those questions that I just asked you, if our answer to any of those questions is yes, there are some other things that are before God, then we have to work on our vertical relationship with God. That must be a priority in our life. Because that's what God desires from us, is that relationship with Him. So He must be our priority. And if that's the case, then something needs to change, doesn't it? Something needs to change. It kind of puts us on a spot sometimes. But let me tell you, we have a God who loves us so much, He'll help us. Whatever it is. There's a lot of things in our life, and I don't know everything about every one of you, and you don't know everything about me. But there are things in all of our lives that need to change, aren't there? And I'm sure as I'm looking out here right now that some of you are thinking, my relationship isn't what it ought to be. God isn't first in my life. I think of other things that come first. Well, the answer to that is, Lord, help me. Help me to make the changes that need to be made in my life, so that my relationship with You is strong and my relationship with You is true, and help me to be faithful to You above everything else. He wants a relationship with us, a good, strong, lasting relationship with us, not an in-and-out relationship. I think sometimes we do things just because. You know, Todd, I saw when this morning with the kids about making decisions, and this is one of the examples I was going to use. We do things because we want to. Well, little kids, and he started to say it, well, you made a choice to come. Well, and then you went on with it. I knew what your parents really made that decision for them, right? But there comes a time in our life, it's our decision, isn't it? It's our decision to come to worship. It's our decision to do whatever it takes in our relationship with God to build that relationship so that it is a strong relationship. Let me tell you, if you're, and it has to come from the heart. In the book of Malachi, Malachi speaks to the people of Israel. And he had a whole bunch of people there at that point, in that time in history. He's speaking to a whole congregation that was serving God, but it was a great burden. They were doing it. They were singing songs, and they were giving their offerings unto God. But then here's what they said. Malachi says, "You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is that that we keep His ordinances?" In other words, it was a burden to them to worship and to serve God. They had what I want to call the same song, second verse syndrome. You know, it was just the same thing over and over. We got to go. We got to be there. Church starts at 10:30, and we get into a thing. I was thinking of it. Most of it, we sing a song. We have a prayer. We have a special. We sing another song. You know, we've got the same order, and it's the same song, second verse kind of over and over again. Not that there's anything wrong with order. Don't get me wrong with that. But I think sometimes we just get to doing it because that's what we do. And I don't think something like that builds our relationship with God. Because that's just a lifeless religion. If we just do it because we have to do it, and we do it because that's the way it's always done, we have to sing so many songs and, you know, do it a certain way. But, you know, Christianity is not a lifeless religion. It's an active relationship. And that relationship is with our God. God does not want second-rate sacrifices. He never did. God does not want second-rate offerings or worship. If it's not good enough for you, it's certainly not good enough for Him. He deserves our best. I think of one of the songs that Sister Mildred Sims taught us early on in Delray Beach, where I went, and Mark was just a baby back then, but a long time ago. But I remember we sang, and you sung it. Now I forgot what the song was that I was going to say. See? Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, give of your best to the Master. You know, we sang that. All right, that's what we're to do, isn't it? That's what He wants. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him the best that you have. That's what we're to do. He's first. He is God. And I tell you what, when that happens in our life, oh, what a great blessing it's going to be. God is going to pour out His blessings. An illustration of that, as I get to closing here, and we need to be challenged, and I'm challenging you today that just search your own life. You have to do it. Every one of us has to do it, has to look in our own life and answer that question, is God first, and is my relationship with Him my number one priority in life? Not my work, not my wife, or my husband, or my children. They all fall in there, but I tell you what, if our relationship with God isn't what it ought to be, then these other relationships aren't going to be what they ought to be either. He's to be first. But I think of one example, and you know, a lot of things in Scripture that we read, we have a specific example and a specific thing, but then there's a principle that is established. And that's what I see, again, looking in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, he's teaching about their giving. But it's a principle that's set here. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now. Test me right now in this. The Lord says, and He says, see if there is not food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And the principle there is God first. In our offering, like He says here, the tithes and offerings, but in every aspect of our life, our business, whatever it might be, God should be first. And He says, now you test me on this. and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out great blessing upon you. Give our all to Him. We sing, I think of so many songs we sing, all on the altar. You know, we sing all of this, but then do we live it? And that's the point. So how is your relationship with God today? What needs to be changed in your life in order to have a greater, a better relationship with God today? Each one of us needs to answer that question. I want to close reading from Psalm 78. Our pastor started doing this when he became our pastor. At the close of every service, we stand and we read these verses together. And I want you to listen to them because I think it's so important for us. And those of you that have children in here especially, I want you to listen. Psalm 78, 4 through 7. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. God first, His truth, share that truth, tell that truth to your children and your grandchildren, to the next generation. That's what He's telling us. So what we've studied today, what we've talked about today, God first in your life, if He's first in your life and you pass that on to your children, that's going to affect the next generation, isn't it? The Lord help us is our prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are so blessed as a people. We are blessed that we have a relationship with You, that You are God. You are the Creator of all things, and You are our Creator. And You have created us to have a lasting, strong relationship with You. So, Father, I pray that each of us today can search our heart and we can see where our relationship is, how strong it is or how weak it is. And then, Father, that we can jump in with both feet with a desire to be closer to You, that our relationship with You will be stronger, and that relationship with You then will help us in our relationship with other people, with people in our family, people in our church, people in our community, in our workplace, that we can have a right, good relationship with them. But Lord, it all begins with our relationship with You. Help us, Father, to see where we need to change, and help us, Father, to make those changes to strengthen this wonderful relationship that we're to have. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.